Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Deitch. My producer is Patrick Antonetti. This is a mini podcast. And generally speaking, when we have a mini podcast, we bring in Austin Karp, managing editor slash digital for the Sports Business Journal, and John Lewis, the founder and editor of Sports Media Watch. This will be very, very heavy on the NCAA basketball tournament and particularly heavy on the women's numbers, which were just extraordinary. And with that, I bring in Austin and John. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a long time, Richard.
Yeah, by the way, Austin, I did your podcast this week, which I quite frankly enjoyed. And I believe I'm supposed to pass on a message to you from an Eli Karp who would be related to you somehow.
Maybe, yes. That's my cousin.
There you go. All right. John Lewis, I want to start with you. Listen, you know, the NCAA Women's Tournament for ESPN this year has been incredible. Through, I think, the Sweet 16, you might have the number in front of you. I'm doing this by memory. It was like 100, it was up 104% or something, like, you know, silly landing stuff. Then we get to the Elite Eight, and Iowa's win over LSU averages 12.3 million viewers and peaks at 16 million viewers. These, John Lewis, and you're, you know, about as good as it gets when it comes to viewership and sort of what it means. Like, this is fantasy land stuff. Like, once upon a time, maybe even like 5 years ago, you would have thought this is inconceivable. So be honest with the audience. Like, what was your thought or prediction heading in? And then what was your reaction when you saw the viewership number?
Well, when I was writing my ratings prediction article, my initial number was 8.65 million. But I thought that was unrealistically high. Because it was, you know, it's the Elite Eight and it's on cable. The previous high for the Elite Eight of the women's tournament on cable was like, you know, 2.5 million. Once the number came in from the Sweet 16 Colorado game, and that was nearly 7 million viewers, it was pretty obvious that was going to be not high enough. Even with that, I still wasn't expecting 12 million. You know, I'm sure everyone does this. You kind of pre-write your article a little bit ahead of time. And I pre-wrote it kind of on the idea that it would be 10 to 11 million. You know, so it was, oh, the highest since X, the highest since Y. Then you have to scrap the whole thing because then it blows past those numbers that you're saying it's the highest since. It was a tremendous number. And like you said, there's nobody on earth who follows this who would have thought that a women's college basketball game of any kind could average 12 million viewers in 2024 if you went back to, you know, 5 years. Certainly not after COVID when everything was hitting record lows. The idea that that would happen in the Elite Eight, not the national title game, but the Elite Eight, it would be an unrealistic expectation. And it nonetheless happened. And it's way beyond the highest possible expectations, I think.
Austin, one of the when the games were going on, I texted my now colleague Andrew Marchand, your former podcast colleague, we were like sort of kicking back and forth. Like, normally we're not really big believers in like kind of word of mouth, like increasing an audience like during a game, but I think we both agreed that like with the halftime score as close as it was between Iowa and LSU. So much like social media interaction stuff. There's a part of me that thinks that people may have joined that game, like in the second, in, you know, in the third quarter. Like, they just may have heard about it from their friends or, and I'm not saying that's the reason for the 12 plus million viewers. Obviously, you know, there was a base of people who were interested, but I don't know. I'm curious, like, when you were watching that in game, if you were like myself and Martian who thought, you know, they may get a couple hundred thousand people just from word of mouth, which does not always happen.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my case the other night during the West Virginia game. I was kind of waiting to see what it was at halftime. It was kind of close. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to tune in and watch the rest of it. Yeah, I watched the entire Iowa-LSU game, you know, from the start. But yes, if you're a casual fan, yeah, they may have attracted a couple hundred thousand extra viewers. But just to reiterate what John said, I was blown away. I mean, I was on the record saying this was going to be close to 8, and yeah, not so much there. I have never, in 17 years of kind of doing this, I've never been as surprised by a number. Just given where this was in the calendar, as far as not being a Final Four game, being an Elite Eight game, and just blowing past the record like that by so much, I can't believe I'm still underestimating the draw that she has among all sports fans.
Yeah, we'll start thinking about the next couple rounds in a bit. I do want to go to you, John Lewis, because I know as a media viewership nerd, you will have found this fascinating. I was as interested in what the viewership number would be for UConn and USC, because they were going to get a great lead in, obviously, from Iowa-LSU. Nobody obviously thought they would get a 12.3 million viewership number. But the reason that was particularly interesting is UConn has historically been the bell cow in terms of viewership for women's basketball. And then you had USC, you had the best freshman in the country in Juju Watkins, and somebody who, you know, maybe have the kind of Caitlin Clark impact, like, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road. That game drew 6.7 million viewers, which is incredible. Like, if we didn't have this Iowa sort of stuff going on, your head would spin at a Elite Eight game drawing 6.7 million, and it peaked at 10.4 million. So I wonder from you, John, like, you know, when you saw that number, as I mean, in some ways, maybe that number's more surprising than the Iowa-LSU number.
Well, given the lead-in, it's not that surprising to me. Now, I mean, that was always going to be a great number because of the lead-in. Almost makes you wonder whether ESPN should have put Iowa-UConn as the early game on.
Yes, good, interesting
Friday.
Point.
But look, I mean, it's a great number. UConn, when they last won the national title, fewer than 3 million people were watching them blow out Syracuse that night in 2016. So, I mean, obviously, it's just beyond words in terms of the growth. I will say, you know, anytime you're mentioning record highs or anything, obviously out of home plays a small role. These games are so massive that out of home is not, you know, it's not like with the NFL where out of home is the reason for the record highs. But obviously maybe those UConn numbers look a little bit better from 2016 if there was out of home viewing back then. But
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is interesting to me. Do you have any kind of estimate as to what the out of home was for Iowa-LSU?
No idea
okay.
Yet.
All right. I didn't mean to jump you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's no problem. But, you know, obviously, as you said, I mean, that's a tremendous number. The highest number for the women's tournament outside of the two Iowa-LSU games and Iowa-Colorado in the Sweet 16, UConn-USC is the top women's tournament audience since 1995, right? And, you know, that was the last year it aired on CBS. So it's a milestone number, obviously, goes without saying, surpasses all of the UConn national title games, all of them since 95 when they beat Tennessee on CBS and 7.4 million tuned in.
Austin, I now want to let's look ahead. People will listen to this prior to the national semifinal game. So we have UConn versus Iowa in the, obviously, the sort of, at least for viewership wise, the mega matchup, and then NC State, South Carolina. I don't really, like, making a prediction at this point seems silly because you'll probably be dead wrong. No doubt this Iowa-UConn game is gonna be massive. And you would not be surprised me now if it hit 10 million. I think if you were gonna, you know, force me to make a call, I don't think it will beat the Iowa LSU game. And then we'll get to the final in a second. And then South Carolina, NC State. I really don't have a feel for that. We'll sort of see sort of how that one plays out. But let you know, the big one, obviously, in terms of viewership is going to be Iowa, UConn. Do you have any thoughts, at least at the moment, how you might see that play out? And as John mentioned, the times of these games will play a factor in the viewership number.
I think it's going to hit, over 10 million for sure. And I hope it's not a blowout, because that'll help keep the closer number. I mean, maybe out of home helps it a little bit, being a Friday night and people out at bars and things like that, more so than a Monday night. But also Friday night is not generally a good TV viewership night. Your HUT levels are just lower. But I do think it's going to be way bigger than the national title game last year. It's going to take a close game, though, to top what LSU-Iowa drew. That just had, all the anticipation of the rematch, the Angel Reese factor. You have the Paige Beckers angle here, but not the rematch angle. And that was a big part of, a lot of that number. But there's, not a whole lot still going on. You have some national NBA games, but this is a cultural moment, I think, at this point. People are really tuning in to see what Caitlin Clark does. It is, kind of like when Steph Curry and the Warriors were on that winning streak, and you were just tuning in every night to see if they kept doing it and kept doing it, and can they keep going? And people want to see if Caitlin Clark can keep going. So she is, I think, transcended even casual sports fans to something more culturally relevant.
John, Iowa UConn is a 9:30 estimated start. Obviously it will depend on the early game. The early game is on this one, South Carolina, NC State. Again, I'm with Austin. I think this does go over 10 million, but I'd be hesitant to say it beats Iowa LSU, but nothing surprises me at this point, I guess. What about you? How do you see the Final Four matchups?
Well, as Austin said, Iowa LSU had a specific appeal because of the rematch factor. Obviously, that game last year was a national story for days and weeks after, maybe not weeks, but certainly for days. I think that is part of the reason why those numbers were so good. I do think that Iowa UConn will nonetheless deliver the kind of number that would have, if not for Monday night, been viewed as, shockingly high. I'm going to set the bar at around 11.5 million. I think that'll be kind of where that is, somewhere in the 11 million, region. Obviously, we're not talking about the final yet. I do think the final is a different story, but for Friday, I don't see it getting to Monday's number, but of course I've been wrong plenty of times before with this tournament.
You're not alone, John. You're not alone. I feel your pain, man. I feel it.
Now let's play a little fantasy baseball here and put Iowa and South Carolina in the final. And by the way, I think South Carolina will beat NC State. I feel pretty comfortable as a women's basketball aficionado to make that call. I would pick Iowa over UConn, but I think it's a pick'em game. You wouldn't surprise me either way. But let's just, for the sake of this, for the fun of this, do Iowa, South Carolina, Austin. If that is the final, I believe it passes Iowa LSU. That's where I'm going to 15 million or fantasy land, basically, whatever sort of fun number you want to put out there. How do you see that if that's the matchup we get?
If that's the matchup we get, I think it's well north of 15 million, and I think it beats
the men's. Well north. What is well? Yeah, where well north, for me, would be Nunavut. So how high well north are you going here?
I mean, I could see it approaching 17 to 18 Oof. Million viewers.
Woo!
Even in that 3 p.m. time frame, the crescendo that this would build after beating UConn and getting to a potentially undefeated South Carolina team, what else do you want from sports? What else do you want?
Well, Austin, I am going to get to John in a second. If your thesis is correct, and by the way, I'm not saying you're wrong, that will, I think, beat the men's final.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I think Iowa, South Carolina could do that.
Wow. Wow, 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 if that happens.
And if I remember correctly, and John, you can correct me if I'm wrong, this is ABC ESPN for the women's title game, not ABC and the Deuce this year.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow, okay. That's excellent context there. All right, John Lewis, you're the guy who writes all the media viewership sort of prediction columns. So we'll get to the men in a little bit, but it's Iowa, South Carolina, undefeated South Carolina, Caitlin Clark obviously going for her national championship, 3 p.m. on that Sunday. What's this game doing in your opinion?
Well, I thought 16 to 17 million was a high number, but Austin said 17 to 18. So mine actually sounds a little bit conservative, but 16 to 17 million. I think, you know, given that we've all been off, and you know, our predictions, I would say, have always been really high. And then the game comes in well above that. So I honestly do think, I mean, I don't really think this is going to happen. But I didn't think 12 million was going to happen for Monday's game either. I do think 20 million could be in play, you know, just from the standpoint of this is, you know, undefeated team, you know, and Caitlin Clark is just that level of draw right now. This is something where it just seems to grow by the game. And maybe 20 million might be in play if it was the later time slot. I do want to point that out, just ABC up to now, even with these tremendous numbers, still trying to get the game to finish in time for World News Tonight to air and not be preempted. It's just crazy. If you look last week, CBS is willing to start the Elite Eight game at 5 o'clock and preempt part of 60 minutes. You know, I still don't understand why these ABC and ESPN games won't start any later than 3:30 on Sunday. But maybe with a later time slot, I could have gotten all the way there. But I do think that's in play. And I think at this point, I'm confident that the women's final will outdraw the men's, even if it's a good game between UConn and Purdue. You're talking about cable. I should say if Iowa plays South Carolina, that's a big caveat. But with the men's final, you're talking about cable. I don't see any of the matchups being big enough to dramatically outdraw last year when you had UConn, San Diego State. So I'm confident that the women's final will outdraw the men.
Wow. All right. So before we get to the men, the last thing I'll just say is if somehow, John Austin, this thing hits 20 million, well, let's just sort of play it out to the fantasy land. That's essential. I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but like that beats the average of Sunday Night Football, correct? All the games. Aren't they like 19 something? John, do you have that in front of you, John Lewis?
No, I don't recall. I think that was over 20 million, though.
Over 20 million. Okay, but it tops the average NFL game for 2023, which is probably 18 million or something to that effect, right? My math right there. I think I'm fairly close. Anyway, these are just numbers that no one could have predicted, you know, for women's basketball 3-5 years ago. Even the most optimistic of us, like myself. All right, I'm gonna go to you, Austin. The last I saw, I think this probably was even from you in Sports Business Journal, the NCAA men's tournament is up 4% from 2023. Games across CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV have averaged 9.4 million viewers. So up from last year, down from 2022. That's a success. I mean, like, if you are up at all in 2024, that's a success regardless. But given the tournament, like, does not have, like, a de facto, like, you know, bunch of lottery draft picks who you've heard of for the last year, like the Zion Williamson types and stuff, this tournament's done well. And better, by the way, just full transparency, much better than I expected. How do you say, when you look at the viewership as we head into the Final Four, how do you see it?
I think it's surprising that it's held up, especially after a school like Kentucky dipped out as early as they did, you know, because that's one of your marquee late afternoon CBS games in the later rounds that you kind of rely on to be a ratings magnet. Would they have preferred to have maybe a Duke in the Final Four? Sure. But it is surprising and it's good for the sport. I mean, but as far as storylines go in the Final Four, like, yeah, John kind of alluded to it. There's not really a super compelling matchup anywhere with these mix up of teams. Yeah, I mean, UConn going for their second title in a row. Okay, hasn't been a repeat since Florida. I mean, DJ Burns and NC State kind of the underdog, maybe in the national championship game. But, you know, nobody really knew this NC State team until like a week ago. And then there's what, Zach Edey, like as a potential prospect. It's just not compelling on the storyline side, which is why, I mean, I'm sure John and I feel kind of comfortable saying the women are such a compelling story that it's not, you know, unreasonable to think that the men are going to lose out to the women. And it's also not a bad thing. This is great for the sport. This is a rising tide, I think, for basketball. And I just don't want to hear trolls out there saying, oh, my God, the men's basketball game has a problem on the college side. This is just kind of a once in a generation, I think, sort of thing with the women.
John, how do you see this? I think the top game of the tournament so far, Austin, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's NC State Duke, maybe, right? It was like 15 million.
Yeah, it was that late window in the Elite Eight.
Yeah. Okay. So again, very, very solid rating. It's hard to figure out the men's Final Four because I think, you know, there's a lot of interesting stories. Obviously, UConn going for a double is interesting. Alabama as a basketball power is interesting. Purdue with the player of the year, Zach Edey, who a lot of people don't think will be a great pro, interesting. And obviously, NC State represents Cinderella. But I still get back to my, like, there's not a person in that, on those four teams who the public kind of knows is going to be like an NBA star. And I kind of think that, that matters. The other thing, which I think is important here, and John, you noted this earlier, is the game, the Final Four is on TBS, True TV, and TNT. And that's not CBS. Again, I'm not saying it's going to bust, but it's not CBS. So when you're thinking about viewer expectations, John, broadly, what do you see with this?
Well, yeah, you're very correct that TBS, TNT, and True TV are not CBS. And look, I think the fact that this is on cable every other year is a problem going forward. Now that the CFP title game is going to be on ABC in a couple years, the Final Four and title game will be it as far as marquee properties on cable. The women's title game will always be on ABC under the new deal. The CFP title game will be on ABC, and you'll have, you know, the basketball, the men's basketball title game on cable in what year is this? So it's 26, 28, 30, and 32. I think that's a problem, and I don't see the ratings getting any better as time goes on. I mean, we just had a milestone number on cable just on Monday, but I still think that overall, you'd rather be on broadcast television than cable over the next 8 years. So as far as this year goes, if you get an increase on TBS over the prior year on CBS, that's a win. So even if it's historically low, 15 million viewers isn't that's a good number in 2024. And I think UConn Purdue could be a high quality enough game that you will see 15, you know, million for that.
Austin, do you think the viewership number gets any kind of boost if there is something where like both the NC State men and women or both the UConn men and women are in the final? Like, does that story bring in any kind of casual fan because maybe they read it in their, you know, on their website and they find it interesting? Like, I don't know. Like, honestly, I don't know the answer to that question, but
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, Hartford hasn't even really been among the top 10 markets for the tournament to date. The NC State angle is even more compelling because if you look at the top markets, I mean, Greensboro, Raleigh, you know, Greenville, Spartanburg, Asheville, a lot of Carolina markets that maybe including Charlotte could bring in some NC State fans, some NC State love.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, so lastly, let us finish with the UFL, right, which just kicked off this last weekend. As I pull this up here, viewership averages a tick over a million viewers. I believe that's down from the USFL's two seasons in 2022 and 2023, but I don't know if it get a million viewers, you know, in anything these days for a spring
business.
Football league.
That's a business. Yeah,
maybe you're happy. So, all right, we'll start. I'll start with you, Austin, since you seem excited about this. Like, how do you?
So excited.
How do you read that one?
I was surprised that they were able to draw such a strong number, because a lot of the, you know, there wasn't a lot of chatter going in, was the problem. And the feeling was like, all right, I guess they're splitting the baby in terms of starting the schedule, because you had one league starting in February right after the Super Bowl last season. The other started after March Madness. And so they're rolling out on Easter weekend. You have the men's and the women's tournaments in high gear. You got the opening weekend of Major League Baseball. It's beautiful outside on the East Coast in a lot of markets. So I thought all the games would be under a million viewers. And to see them come out and have, you know, 1.5 million on that opening Saturday on Fox, I'm like, wow, like there's something here. And Fox again makes it a very wise programming decision, like they've done time after time over the last few years. So yeah, it was surprising, and it's a business. Spring football can be a business. And we always knew, I think, that this was going to be the end result, a merger of the USFL and XFL. There wasn't room for both of them. And we'll see how long it goes now. But as far as a TV product, it shows that it has staying power.
All right. So to bring this up here, as Austin mentioned, Fox drew basically 1.4 for the Michigan Panthers over the St. Louis Battlehawks in the United Football League season opener. That was on Fox, and that was up significantly from last year's broadcast average. Again, John Lewis, I am the first person to admit I didn't follow these leagues very closely before. I recognize, though, that they definitely have an audience. You know, I know the Birmingham numbers are usually really good. And so Austin is correct. It's a business. You know, if it's a long-term business or not, well, we'll see, I guess, right? I mean, people never get sick of football, no matter the time of year. But again, this is like a viewership mini pod. So what'd you make of the first week of this?
Well, I thought, like Austin said, I mean, you can get by on that kind of a number. But the trick with spring football has always been people hear about the opening weekend number and say, hey, this isn't too bad. And then they don't follow up, you know, as the season goes along. So, you know, there's some good time slots coming up. I mean, ABC has the primetime game this week opposite the men's Final Four. That could be decent counter programming. There's some doubleheaders, some primetime games on broadcast. But once you get into the playoffs, it'll be interesting, because they're going up with their title games and postseasons right during the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals. So I don't know if that might be a good thing where, hey, people are, you know, those are big events, but they're also not every single day, or if that'll be, you know, them getting lost in the shuffle or not. It's better than finishing in, I think it was July last year for the USFL, but that's the real test. The real test isn't opening weekend. The real test is going through all the NBA and NHL playoffs, going through April and May, and then coming out in June with a representative audience.
Yeah, always. You nailed it. Like, you know, week six really is what matters, not week one. All right. If we get a crazy women's title game viewership number, will you guys come back next week so we could just dissect it? Because I think we, if it's Iowa, South Carolina, I honestly think it's coming. I think our heads will, even the three of us grizzled veterans of the sports television viewership wars, will be stunned. I mean, even, you know, I think even Fox's executives will have to send a fruit basket to ESPN headquarters if they pull that. But first of all, they'll be helping Fox next year when Juju Watkins is in the Big Ten. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be an incredible weekend. And again, as someone who's written, followed, and covered women's basketball for a long time, it's just it's such an inflection moment in the sport.
Start doing WNBA ratings predictions after that.
We should, you know, it's not a guarantee, you know, of anything. I do think the WNBA will be up from Caitlin Clark, but I mean, you're just, you know, you have to be realistic. The WNBA is not drawing 10 million viewers for games. Like that's just not going to happen. But, you know, I think
its own universe though, some of those early games, those first Caitlin Clark 100%. Games. Yeah, I mean, she's going to set a record in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Do you, John Lewis, do you know, I actually don't know this. Do you know the Fever's first national game?
None of that's been announced yet, but the Fever debut on the first night of the season, which I believe is May 14th or May 16th, I think. Actually, I think it might actually be May 14th now that I think about it. And they debut that night, and ESPN2 has a couple of windows that night. So it would be ESPN2. Nothing listed right now for ABC.
And then if I remember this, I feel like I read this. I think like there's a glamour team that the Fever play after that, like the Liberty or the Aces, and that might be an ABC window.
That'll be an ABC window. Okay. They play the Liberty 1 o'clock or something like that on the 16th in New York, and it's the only 1 o'clock game, and ABC happens to have a 1 o'clock window that day. So that's a guarantee.
So that's there, Austin. There's your game to pay attention to. ABC window, May 16th. Caitlin Clark's second game against Sabrina Ionescu and the Liberty. And Brian, you
know, that's my birthday. I expect a ratings gift.
That will be big. All right.
Yeah, let me correct that. May 18th.
May 18th. Took it away.
No birthday for Austin Karp, but still, that'll be a really interesting viewership story. All right. Austin Karp is a managing editor / digital for Sports Business Journal. Check all his work out, as well as him hosting the podcast that they have weekly. John Lewis, founder and editor of Sports Media Watch. He also has a podcast that you should check out. Follow both of their work on X/Twitter. Essentially, you know, there are only a handful of people, I believe, in the country who really have both the current and historical sort of background to really dissect this kind of stuff in sports. And John, and I'm fortunate to be able to have John and Austin, who are two of them, on this podcast. Want to thank Patrick Antonetti for all his hard work. Thanks to everybody at Odyssey for their support. If you like this kind of stuff, head to our archives. We've had a ton of viewership related content in the last month, including a previous visit from John and Austin. Most importantly, thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon on the Sports Media Podcast.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.